Flight 4 MRA portable.
4DJW mobile.
DJW KO4 HKX.
Ed, you made it home.
Yes, sir, I'm at home. Get you some dinner.
Ed, I gotta go by Johnny's house. Then I gotta come back home and get my instructions, and then I'll go out.
Always good to wait on those marching orders.
I'm just looking out here. It's like the wind's not blowing, but it looks like it could. The sky is gray and grayer. It's kind of weird looking, you know? Like the calm before the storm.
Roger that. It's not quite so dark up here right now, but it was earlier.
Hey, you start to see a lot more motorcycles out?
You always see a few out.
Well, in the wintertime, wearing coats and all that stuff, but I see a lot more of them out now that I'm out and about. Maybe that's normal, but I see a lot of them.
How did your test go today?
I got, Shane was the only one that was right on the mark, right on the money. Everybody else was plus or minus 10 degrees, which is good for being 30 to 40 miles away.
Pretty good. You seen my GPS location, though?
Shane weren't that far apart, but you were showing a little more west than Shane was. Shane was going under the bridge on 25 and 123, going under, I guess 123 goes under 25. I don't know which way it goes. But anyway, yeah, he was going under that bridge when he did his countdown, and my vector laid right on that intersection.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, I could see the bridge from where I was at, and 123 goes over 25.
Been on 25 then. But were you west? I was showing you were west of that intersection. Were you west or east of that intersection?
At that, or is that okay?
So, too, I was just sitting here trying to get my bearings from there.
The easily side of it, east would be on the Greenville side.
Correct. I was maybe 1.5 football fields from there.
Correct. Because I noticed you were a little bit off, and it was a little bit to the west. And so I said, okay, that one's not as accurate as Shane's. But I guess it was if you were still. I am impressed with that. With those Australians. They are good.
Sitting perfectly still in a parking lot facing north. So that's probably why you got me so strong into your instrument there.
Hit you five times. Normally it's on zero and you made it to five. When it gets to 10, it's like you can be transmitting 1500 watts and only about a quarter or an eighth of a watt is going to get through.
It's running it on medium power, which I think is like 15 watts on that Kenwood.
Sensitive. So I'm really happy with it. Go ahead, Shane.
At some point, I want you to tell me what little instrument you had there extra. We don't have to do it tonight, but I'd be curious at some point.
Johnny has tried to order one twice, and Steve, I think, is looking into it. And I think Keith maybe wants one. And I've got one, and Mike, N9 GSX. Mike down toward Anderson has one. But it's called a VK Sniffer, version 4, and it's made in Australia. And right now he's saying on his webpage, and he has been saying it for quite a while, that he can't get parts. And that may be he's just not messing with it because he's not getting enough inquiries. He doesn't think another run will be worth his money. But if enough people inquire about it, then it might be worth his money to make another run.
Is it an antenna or is it on its own?
And it's just all by itself. It's a box. It's about as tall as a pack of cigarettes, and about that wide too, and about as thick as a pack of cigarettes. And that's it. It's a receiver, and it's got a BNC connector on the top, and you plug your coax into that, and the other end of your coax is connected to your antenna. And I use one of those Aero 2-meter Yagis with 5 elements, and it works fantastic.
think it did. That was pretty awesome. Also, how is Johnny doing? I haven't heard in a while.
Fully there on his lung capacity recovery. That's what I was talking to him about, when we're going to be able to climb the tower again. We're going to make sure that his lung capacity is back to where it was normal again. But on the hand, that's going to take a little while. The hand's not fully functional yet.
I knew about the lungs. Okay. All right, I'll let you get back to Patrick. I'm just listening. I'm riding in back to the building. Got about another 20 minutes, so I'll be around.
Yeah, Google, when you get a chance, Google VK Sniffer. VK is the prefix for Australian ham radio, their call signs. So VK Sniffer, and you'll land on his page eventually, and you'll see all about it. I think it was highly recommended by Mike in 9GSX, and I see why now, because I'm just now getting my money's worth out of it.
Go ahead, Chandler, and 4ZLK.
Dougie, for DJ Dougie, I have a question for you real quick.
Go ahead. I'm on a noisy road, so you got to talk loud, because you're getting in just fine. It's just it's hard for me to hear where I am right now.
Hey, Dave, so I was wondering, if I was to come on to the theater and make a short announcement about a possibility of severe weather that's not wrong, is it?
Wrong, but we gave all of that to Billy, and gladly so, because there's a lot to that. And so when people are looking for weather information, they're not going to come to this repeater anymore. They used to, and we wouldn't want to send a false signal, you know, telling people that we are, when we don't have any plan to do that. There's a repeater specifically for that. That's the 145.47. I think that's what it is. Somebody correct me if I've got that wrong. With a PL tone of 91.5. And they have a protocol that they use that is highly standardized. So it takes some training. You can't just start doing that on their repeater. You've got to get trained before you do it. I know they're very particular, and rightfully so, because lives are at stake. So it's not really illegal to do it here, but this just isn't the right place to do it. The right place to do it is on the repeater where everybody's going to go looking for it, and they know to look for it on Billy's repeater. That's the K9OH repeater, not the W4MYK repeater. Does that make sense, Chandler?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And could you see if you could get Billy to contact me at ko4wwz@gmail.com? I've been wanting to get in contact with him about some stuff, but I haven't been able to catch him.
I can do no promises, because sometimes Billy can be hard to reach. So no promises, but I'll see what I can do. How's that?
Perfect. Thank you.
No problem. Anytime. And I'm glad you asked, too, because if you don't ask, you don't know. And if you want to know, then there's probably other people that want to know. So never fear asking a question like that, Chandler.
Thanks. I appreciate it very much.
Good job, Patrick. W4DJW.
Nah, we're all good. I'm just sitting at the house. But I was going to ask you a question if you got the email of the picture of the antenna I sent you, of my antenna.
Boy, that's looking up. That's up, 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 isn't it? Up against the dirt. That's, I guess, the dirt on the back side of the hill that's going up.
To the south would be where the dirt's at. But see how that antenna is pointed? That's how I'm talking to you right now.
Off of the iron in a hill that's on the opposite side of the valley that you're on.
I really don't know. Me and Andrew were trying to figure that out last night, because we were playing around with the 2 meter single sideband and were able to make contact through that dirt with that antenna.
Whoever knew Dwight, KD4USA, who lived up in Transylvania County and who bounced his signal off of a mountain to get into this repeater. He had a similar issue that you had, and he actually got even made it better. I think I told you that by repositioning a bulldozer with a scrape blade on the other mountain over there to moving it around till we got the best signal. I guess he had connections. But anyway, that's doable. My worst calibration metric came from somebody's signal that I picked up off on a bounce off of. I found a hill that it bounced off of when I was saying, why can that be? How can that be 50 degrees off? It's just crazy. And it was 50 degrees off because when I went back to that 50 degrees, there was a high spot. So his signal was hitting that, and then it was bouncing up to Caesar's head, and I was getting that reflection.
Now, the RF actually works and all that. So, like I said, last night, me and Andrew were playing with the single sideband on my vertical beam and his vertical omnidirectional, and we're able to make contact that 30 miles through all that dirt that's in between he and I.
He told Steve when he was down here, as my buddy that's up there in South Dakota now, that wouldn't it be wonderful if we could put on a pair of RF glasses and you could just see all the RF? And it's kind of like they say if you put on a pair of particulate glasses so you can see all the particulates in there, you wouldn't be able to breathe. Your mind would stop your breathing because you would feel like you're choking.
You're right about that.
Okay, they might create a pair of RF glasses. and then we'll be considered back in the Stone Age where we could just imagine that they were there and couldn't see them.
It's wild to see something like that and how it actually works. I know it'd make it a lot easier to understand for a lot of people.
That went on. I can't get into detail now, but I was looking at something that one of the scientists was explaining how rudimentary we are now compared to what we will be in 100 years from now, and it's just mind-boggling. Well, anyway, I'm at my destination. I got to go in here and see Johnny. So I'll be back out in a little bit if you're still on. KO4HXS, W4DJW.
KO4HX. 73's Dave, and I should still be around. So, take care.
Patrick, all that Dave would have to do is just write a program. I mean, they take RF and they run it through some oscillators and some capacitors, and it turns it into sound. Why can't they do that to turn it into sight?
We will one day with the way he writes programs.
Connect it to somebody's brain, you know, just wire it in. May not have any glasses yet, but I don't see why not, huh? I mean, that's what they did with sound. Anyway, that's how I think about it.
I mean, that's how hearing aids work, I guess.
I mean that you can key a microphone and it'll send out a signal over, you know, out of the antenna, and something else can pick it up and translate it back into the same sound. So I find that pretty fascinating.
Here.
Andrew last night, did you have the beam pointed towards him or away from him?
Either way, I could point it 180 away from him or I could point it toward him. It really didn't make a whole lot of difference in him hearing me, but it made a difference in me receiving him.
Keep him best.
Him best when it was aimed at him.
I'm wondering if maybe his signal was bouncing off of that hill in front of you too, or to the north of you. We got a lot of dirt between you and I, too. I don't know if that would work.
A lot of big dirt right there between you and I.
20 degrees, because I'm down so much in elevation from you.
Elevation at your house.
1280, or I think it's around 1280, something like that. I don't think it's top 13 right there. I mean, I got a couple of hills to the northwest, or one to the northwest, and then I'm down in a hole. So to the south of me, I've got a little, maybe 50 feet elevation difference.
Now I'm at about 2,300 feet above sea level where I'm at the moment.
Just over 1,000, just barely, right at 1,000 feet, because said it's either 1280 or 1300. I'm not sure exactly.
We're right there. I know on down into Greenville, and you get under 1,000 feet in elevation down there. So it gets to be pretty close to 2,000 or 1,500.
Something, 730 or 760 in Simpsonville, southeast of Greenville. But so I moved up a lot. My ears popped when I got home.
Evening coming up the mountain. Minor popping KO4HKX to sync up with the repeater.
Okay. I think I told you last Monday, a week ago Monday, my son and I went and hiked a trail off 276 that kind of scaled along below Caesar's Head, but it dropped over 1,000 feet in elevation on the way in. So on the way back, we were climbing back out. It was a lot harder coming out than it was going in.
And that's what you got to, I'd rather have it the other way, harder going in than easier coming out.
But wasn't any way around it if we wanted to see those waterfalls. All right, I'm back at the building again, so I'll be out for a little bit until I get my personal vehicle. If I don't talk to you, have a good evening. And 4ZLK.
Have a good evening, too. And I should be around. Just give me a shout. I've got the radio on. Nobody else is here but me. So KO4HKX, and I'll be monitoring.
DJW Mobile.
4DJW,
KO4DJW Mobile.
Hey, we just got done eating dinner or so.
At his place, and now I'm headed back to the house, and then I get my instructions, because there's no food at the house, on where we're going to get supper tonight, and I'll probably be back out to go get that. She worked late, and so did Johnny. I was waiting for them to get home. Those working people, you know, they just work too late.
Well, I'm one of those working people, but I ain't one of those that has to go somewhere else to do it, so that's really nice.
I did it the last 20 years of my career. I worked mostly from home. Once or twice a year, I'd have to go out over to the West Coast or up to NYC. But other than that, my last 20 years were at home.
Nice. So are you fully retired now? I thought I'd heard you say one time that you were semi-retired.
What do they call that, status? I'm not taking any out of the system, but I'm not putting any into the system either. My retirement date is November, and I stopped working last September, so I'm just kind of lollygagging, I guess you'd call it.
After that, our flight leader, on our team, there's me and another fellow that we'll call accelerated agents. And our site leader's pretty young, and she asked us one time, what's your plan? And I was like, well, I have full intentions on retiring, but what are you offering?
Well, sort of the same question. It wasn't exactly the same. It was... They sold the company. They sold the bank. They sold the Americas branch of the bank that I worked for, and there was two of us, and I was the older of the two. So I'm the one that raised my hand and said, "Hey, I'll take a package."
Roger that. KN4CHY. Sync up with the repeater. And that was the first thing that popped into my head too, because I know they've near where I'm at, they've offered. I wouldn't say lucrative packages, but not bad packages. And if they could float me a couple of years out, I'd certainly do it.
Isn't it going until I was 70? Because it's easy work, you know. I could do that and do other things at the same time. And the pay was really good, but when they decided to sell the company, that just kind of... Well, it opened up other opportunities. So it looked like that was going to be a bad thing, but turned out to be a really good thing. I'm very happy with how it all worked out.
I'm a little envious myself. I've thought about doing it from home, that we might could go ahead and start traveling, but tell you, roadside internet is, I don't think it would be good enough from what I do, so I guess I'll up it out a little while longer, and I'm not sure how our site leader would view that.
People that tried that, one guy was down in Tampa, and security called me, and they said, do you know that your guy down in Tampa isn't working from Tampa? He's working from, and it was somewhere else. I think he went up to Jacksonville or something like that. And I said, no, I did not know that. but I appreciate very much you letting me know. And then I asked him about it, and I told him, I got to know where you are. You can't just up and move around like that. And he understood that fully, but... Yeah, it's easy. The security team's going to tell the supervisors what's going on. So best to be upfront about it in the very beginning.
Definitely wouldn't do it unless I had full blessings beforehand. But yeah, the thought has crossed my mind about asking, but I don't want to mess up any kind of situation that I currently have. So basically keep riding it out.
I was happy where I was. That was fine. And I never took my vacation. You know, I would think, okay, if we need to go down to Florida, then I could work if I had to. But I never really took all of my vacation every year anyway. I wound up getting a whole bunch of it given back to the company because I just didn't have time to take it. And that was okay because it wasn't like it was that hard of work. So everything turned out good in the end.
This is the maybe second year that I actually lost vacation time. I made it a point not to do that in the past, but I've got so many years in now that I get an abundance of vacation, and I'm not one for taking vacations anyway. I might take a week off and do stuff around the house, or maybe a long weekend and take go visit somebody and come back. That's about the extent of my vacation in Oakland.
Like same way I did it. I tell them, I'm leaving, but if you need me, you can call me, and they would always call. I was with the last company, but with a company before that, I was with them 15 years, and they said, you will take a decoupled, you will take a completely unplugged vacation. Because they got to a point where they were burning people out left and right, so they were forced into making people take an unplugged vacation, which is kind of nice, right? Because if you don't have any option, then you are going to do it.
Our site leader, she's much that way now. She's pretty insistent that we do, take some time off to keep from getting some burnout. Yeah, and the only thing about working on the road is I do occasionally have to go in. If we've got a complicated design that's getting put together, we usually are hands-on with stuff like that. So that kind of throws a wrench in the works. I mean, I know I could get one of the other local guys to handle it, but I'd just rather not. We kind of pick up these things when they're requested, and we follow them all the way through to shipping. So we kind of tend to be involved in our own designs from the beginning to end.
Completely. You don't want to get on anybody's radar, especially these days and times. And it's so easy to get it to make sure that you're guaranteed that you got it right that it's just not worth. I understand. I follow you completely.
And you being with a manufacturing background, too, you know how it goes. We do mostly industrial actuators. We do the designs, and we come up with parts that we're pretty sure will fit together. And then when they come out in metal, sometimes things don't go exactly right. You have to tweak and hold your mouth right and get her bolted up over.
Yeah, that goes too. When I graduated from writing CNC programs for the engraving machine, which those were expensive machines, but you weren't going to sling a 20-ton piece of chunk of steel across the shop floor. when I graduated from that to Vertical Lays, every time I wrote a brand new program that had never been never had been run on a machine before, I'd go downstairs and we'd cut it out of a piece of wax or something like that. And so if it plunged the tool into the part, well, if the part was made out of wax, then it wouldn't matter. But once it had gone all the way through the whole thing once or twice, then I just let it go. Then the guy running the machine took responsibility for it. But first pass, every single time, watched every single move the machine made from start to finish.
Especially on a vertical lathe, that means you're dealing with a large part. Never ran a vertical lathe. One of my old boss men tried to get me up to Greensboro. It was a company, and I can't remember the name of it now. It's something Whitney. They do machinery for the furniture industry. So big, huge planers and, you know, things of that nature. And they had a big vertical lathe, and yeah, he was wanting me to come up there, but I never took that job. So I ran some big equipment. I ran used to work for Gulfstream in Savannah, and I ran a gantry mill, three spindle, five axis mill that was 15 foot wide and 30 foot long. And then we bought another one that was 15 foot wide and 90 foot long. So that was a big honking machine. Over
any of them like that? Nothing like that. That 90 feet, a part 90 feet long, spin. Wow. even if 10 feet of it was machine, it was only 80 feet spinning. That's a lot.
Probably the back 8 or 10 feet was like parking area. So we had the 30 footer, and we loaded two sets of fixtures on it. Like I said, it was a three spindle. So we could run three parts simultaneously. And so we would load two sets of fixtures and machine one part while we were getting the other one ready to go. And, you know, then just swap to the other set of fixtures. And then we did that for a while. And then that's when they decided, yeah, this is working out pretty good. Let's get something bigger. And they got the 90-foot one over.
And usually takes longer than the cutting on a CNC machine. All right, once you get everything set up, you're 100% right. Then if you got an automatic tool changer, then it definitely takes longer. Well, I'm here, Keith, at the house, so I'm going to run in. I got here before she did. So I'm going to run in there and see if she... I think I know what she wants, so I'm going to go place the order. So all I have to go is sit out outside and pick it up.
Good talking to you. Enjoy your ride home, and you all have a good night. And we'll listen for you on the net a little while. KN4CHY or W4DJW, KN4CHY, I'll be clear.
KN4CHY, W4DJW, clear.